is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church at 5800 Evidence Cove, E-V-I-D-E-N-C-E Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669. Or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we conclude the series, The Mystery of God, that can change your life. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars' message. Up next is Johnny Ray Watson with It's Beginning to Rain, after which we will begin Pastor Mars' sermon.
The turtle dove is singing the sweet songs of the morning. The leaves of the trees turn their silvery cups to the sky. The silent clouds above are beginning to gather. The barren land is so thirsty, and so am I. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain. Eyes start to shine as he tell of his vision. The old understands what he sees, for they dream their dream. With a thrill of being alive, they reach for each other. And they dance in the rain for the joy of the thing they see. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain. Stop rain that you feel, open your window. Then call all the children together, throw wide the door. When the rain of the Spirit are falling, fill every vessel. For he who drinks his fill will thirst no more. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever
sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning.
Jeremiah chapter 31 says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Oh my goodness. Did you just get that? Isn't that confirming what Paul said here? Two covenants. One of Sarah, free covenant, heavenly Jerusalem. The other of Hagar, the slave girl. She had a son, all right. A slave son. She was a slave woman. She was in bondage. And what is she but Jerusalem, which now is, and her children. But those who are the children of the living God, Jesus Christ, are citizens and heirs of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, regardless of their race, regardless of their race. Why don't the Jews, all the Jews, some Jews, of course, will accept Jesus. Some Jews did. Some Jews were apostles. And they accepted Jesus. Peter was Jewish. And he accepted Jesus. Not all Jews are going to reject the covenant. Not all Jews ever did accept the covenant. In fact, here we see in Jeremiah, they broke the covenant. And that's why God said, I'm going to provide a new covenant. A new covenant. So many people say, don't you think that covenant is still everlasting, the one that he made with Abraham? Yes, and it's for the children of God. And there's a new covenant too. There's a new covenant. Now, verse 28 of Galatians 4 says, Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now. Do you understand what that means? Everyone who is born after the flesh, Jew or Gentile, will do their best, and will, if God allows, persecute the saints of the living God. Jews will do it. Gentiles will do it. Judaizers will do it. They're born after the flesh. They're not born after the spirit. They can't do anything but follow after their father, the devil, and they will persecute you. Jesus said they will even kill you and think they do God's service. He that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now. Boy, now we talk about the flesh. Remember what Paul said? Murders, adultery, hatred. That's what those who are born after the flesh are full of. And they cannot possibly inherit the kingdom of God. And they will persecute because they hate us. They will persecute us. Now, what's going to happen to all of these people? Jews, Gentiles, because God doesn't look at their race. All he's going to say is, did you belong to my son? Then come. But what happens to those who don't belong to his son? What happens to those who do not pertain to the mystery of God, who don't understand the mystery of God, who are into the flesh, who believe in fleshly Israel, a fleshly led temple, a fleshly city of Jerusalem, all of those who are of Hagar? Remember now, it's not the Palestinians who are of Hagar. It's all those who are not of the living God, who are not of Christ. Here's what happens. Verse 30 says, Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. But I'm Jewish. How is it possible I could be cast out of the kingdom? Because God said so. Galatians chapter 4, verse 30. You will not be an heir. Listen to me, Jew. You're listening to me. You will not be an heir because you belong to Agar. Gentile, listen to me. You too will not be an heir unless you accept Jesus Christ. Jew, you can be an heir, accept Jesus. Gentile, you can be an heir, accept Jesus. So then, brethren, verse 31 says, we are not children of the bondwoman, that of the slave, but of the free. Stand fast, chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't be unequally yoked with those who are of the flesh. And all of these Christians that say, I want Jesus to be of the flesh. Jesus will eternally be of the flesh of a Jew. I'm going to help the Jews build their temple in Jerusalem. I'm going to write a letter to our president and our Congress saying we need a kingdom of the Jews. We need an earthly temple. We need Jerusalem to be exalted. Friends, you're concerning yourself with fleshly things here. You're entangling yourselves. You're unequally, if you're a Christian, yoking yourself with unbelievers. All text, you're just prejudiced against the Jews. I must be prejudiced against Gentiles too, because I have yoked unbelievers together, Jew and Gentile. I yoke them all together. They're all one. They're in the flesh. They will be cast out of the kingdom. And on judgment day, I promise you this. There will be no mention of race. Kids today, when they go to school, they have to fill out a form, or their parents do when they start school. It says, what race are you? Oh, the government keeps statistics. There's got to be quotas. There's got to be affirmative action. When jobs are given out, these corporations, now they have to keep track on computers of all the statistics. How many managers of this level are women? How many are blacks? How many are minorities? How many are Hispanic? Oh, they have to keep track of all of that stuff. God has a more simple system. Do you believe in my son? Do you have faith in him? Then come. But wait, Jesus, maybe I'm not eligible because I'm just a lowly Mexican. I was born poor. I was born in a shack. So, I'm not eligible to go to heaven. You know what Jesus is going to say if you're a person of God? He's going to say, come, my child. I have a mansion ready for you. You lived in a shack? Well, that was for a short period of time. I've got all of eternity. Come, let me show you what I've got prepared for you. Men could not imagine it. Paul one time went to heaven and he came back saying, "Why, it's unmentionable. I can't even describe it. It's undescribable what God has prepared for us." Some say, well, I better be circumcised like the Jews do, or I can't make it to heaven. But Paul said, behold, I say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Oh, I'm circumcised. It's so wonderful. I got circumcised and we had a little Jewish ritual. Oh, really? Well, then you won't find any profit in Christ. Go on and do your Jewish rituals and your Jewish holy days and all that stuff. But Paul said, Christ shall profit you nothing. Christ has become of no effect unto you, verse 4 says. Verse 5 says, for we through the Spirit, we have that word Spirit again, don't we? Wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. Wow. Now, Peter said a few things about this, the danger of false teachers. See, a lot of people are not going to preach these things to you. In fact, very few. I don't know of anybody right now on the radio that's preaching these things. Nobody. Let me know. I want to be their brother. I want to write them and congratulate them if you know of somebody that's preaching this today. Chapter 2 of 2 Peter says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you,
who privately, see, you know, they come in, shall bring in damnable heresies. Not just heresies, but damnable heresies. Wow. But verse 2 says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. But, well, who are these false teachers? Who are we to look for? How are we going to know? Paul says, verse 10, he describes them. Chiefly them that walk after the flesh. Chiefly them which walk after the flesh. They're not spiritual. They don't know. They don't understand. They have not been converted. They don't know of the mystery of God. They're not partakers of the mystery of God. And don't, watch out, friends, don't yoke yourself unequally with these people or you will become like them. And what other description can we give to these people but a horrible description of them? Now, I'm not saying this. Don't say Tex Mars said these terrible things, but I agree with them. Paul said, presumptuous are they, self-willed. How can they not be self-willed? Like Anton LaVey and Aleister Crowley of the Church of Satan said, do as thou will shall be the whole of the law. Do your own thing, they said back in the 60s. Walk after the flesh. That's what they do. Paul said in verse 12, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. My goodness. That Paul was just not a nice man. Or was he? Maybe he was just a truth teller. Maybe he didn't think about being nice or positive thinking. Maybe he wasn't worried about making a positive confession. Maybe all the Apostle Paul wanted to do was tell the gospel truth. And if you don't like it, then you don't like the truth. No wonder the New Agers and the occultists today and the Illuminati, they attack the Apostle Paul more than any other apostle. Well, they try to pull him out as and make him into the worst man. They'll call him everything, homosexual, hater of the Jews. They'll call him anything they can to try to disavow what he taught from the Word of God. Why? Because he described these men for what they were. Natural brute beasts. And they're made, listen, that they're actually made, they're foreordained to be taken and destroyed. In fact, he goes on to say, they shall utterly perish in their own corruption and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. They got a reward waiting for them. Anyone out there who says, I am of this race and I don't have to believe in Jesus Christ, I've got my own law, I've got my own covenant, you are nothing but a self-willed, lustful, natural, brute beast, and you're you want to talk about your purpose. Let me drive your purpose a little bit. I'll tell you about your purpose-driven life. It is your destiny to be taken and destroyed, and you're going to utterly perish in your own corruption, and you will receive a reward of unrighteousness. You're nothing but a spot, a dirty spot on life. You say, Tex, where did you get that? Verse 13. You're just a dirty spot of deceitfulness. That's what Paul said about you. You know, I think I agree with Paul. Does that make me a mean man? That's for you to decide, friends. I've just told you what the truth is here. But if you don't like the truth, you won't like Tex Mars either. Now, let's talk about you for a moment. What if you are of the mystery of God? What if you are destined to understand these things? What if you say, Tex Mars, I know what you're talking about. I believe this because it's scriptural. I think God has a fate for you. Listen to this. Peter says these things, wonderful things. Verse 23 of chapter 1 of 1 Peter. Listen to this. He describes you. Now, we've just described those who are after the flesh, but listen to what he says. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You will have the seed of God planted in you, and it cannot fall to corruption. It will never corrupt. Never, never. Why? Because it's born again. It's a new creature. You will be a new creature. How is that accomplished? The word of God. And the word of God liveth and abideth forever. They can change Bible translation, as we used to say in East Texas, till the cows come home. It won't change the real word of God, which you can find in the King James Bible, by the way. Because the word of God will endure forever. And you will too. The mystery of God says so. Now, verse 24, Peter says in chapter 1, for all flesh is as grass. We get back to the flesh. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flowers of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. It's beautiful for a while. Oh, we have Miss America contests, Miss Universe pageants. And the glory of men, the George Washingtons, the President George W. Bushes of the world, and oh, I guess if you're of that bent, that wicked bent, Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler, oh, they rise in their glory as far as men are concerned. Napoleon, we can go on and on naming them all. Glorified men, the history books say. But the Bible says they just wither away. Wither away. They fall away. But verse 25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. Wow. Does that mean you're chosen? After all, you're not a Jew. Right? Does that mean you're chosen? Well, let's see what Peter says. Oh, my goodness, I've got it right here. Chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. He's talking to Christians, he's talking to saints. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Wow. Verse 10 says, now the people of God. You're the people of God. You're chosen. You're a royalty. That's right. I'm going to admit it. I'm of a very princely nature. You may think, friends, you may look at my picture and, you know, say, Tex looks a little bit older than he used to. That's right. I'm withering. My flower is fading. But wait, what you don't understand is I have something inside of me, a seed that cannot wither away, that is of a royal, eternal nature that God put there. I didn't have to work for it except to believe in Jesus Christ. And that's the mystery of God. Do you have that seed in you, dear friends? Are you of the seed of God? Are you of the seed of Abraham? Are you a partaker of the mystery of God?
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.